Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles and frigid Arctic of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. Hello to all of our listeners. A big shout out to Melinda Hogan Thomas, who's been listening to our show, and we appreciate the nice comments that she gave us. As always, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, technical engineer, keeping us on the air for this hour or more, Wayne Larson. A little bit later on, our first grade teacher. Oh, we're going to have a spelling bee today.
Oh, no.
Tonight. Oh, my. Mrs. Swihart will be with us. And as always, from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD and really newly renovated, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. What's it like out there at the Wildlife Preserve tonight?
Well, I imagine it's the same way it is at the Wild World News Studios. It's cold, frigid.
Yes, it is. We're at 4 degrees right now.
Oh, a heat wave.
It's warmer in Alaska now than it is here.
Is that true?
Yep.
Oh, my Lord. Gosh, what did we do? Well, you know what we've done. We've had all these mild winters for so many years, and now we're paying for that. And I laughed when the Farmer's Almanac published that this was going to be a bad winter. And I said, what do those farmers know? Guess what? They know quite a bit.
More than us, yes.
Our guest tonight coming with us in a little bit will be a world-renowned escape artist, a legendary broadcaster. Henry, he used to do drag racing commercials.
Is that right? Well, I saw Bill two nights ago. They did a Naptown radio program on PBS, and it was great, just great.
Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah, the radio wars.
I have to chime in.
Yes.
You know how I am about being quiet. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know it's not my time, but you said drag racing. So, you know, he used to do drag racing. You know who else does drag racing?
Who?
Justin Bieber. Didn't you hear about that? And guess what? I don't want to give him another mention because he does not deserve it. But anyway, I'm so glad he got... Oh, I'm sorry. It's so unfortunate that he got busted. But
well, we're
it was naughty, and he had it coming.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, we're glad. It's about time.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of people don't know that Bill Shook actually does the lead-in to the Wild World of Larry Batson.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I get quite a few compliments on our opening. How professional it sounds, because believe it or not, he is a professional.
That he is.
Broadcaster for many, 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 many years. So, and, of course, the world-renowned escape artist. If you have a copy of the Guinness Book of World Records handy, you'll see several of the records he's set dangling from helicopters. I can still recall the fairgrounds at Syracuse, New York, where tens of thousands of people watched him hang upside down in a straitjacket as we put a 19-foot reticulated python around him. And he was being literally suffocated by the giant snake, and we had no idea what was going on until we could see the blood vessels popping in his face.
Yes.
And we decided we should bring him down, because my famous line from the movie The Escapist, if we bring him down and he's not in trouble, we won't get paid. So that's another legendary. Anyway.
Great movie. That's
oh,
a great
absolutely.
Movie.
This half of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Weekend and Expo. Video on demand available $4.99 if you're a fan of the Sasquatch Bigfoot programs on the Discovery Channel and so forth. 6 hours of video from the Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo that occurred April 26th, 27th, and 28th, 2013. Yours truly is featured. Billy Willard, Melissa Hovey, Steve Calls, and the legendary Bob Gimlin, part of the Patterson-Gimlin film. That's available at Chautauqua Lake. And for those who have a sharp pencil, it's Chautauqua, lakebigfoot.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for January the 23rd. We're moving right along this year. Now, our first two stories tonight come from Kentucky, just a little south of here. We've got some good news and some bad news.
Oh.
But first, the good news. Newport, Kentucky. Sweet Pea, a shark ray at the Newport Aquarium, is expecting as many as 6 pups.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Now, this is the first time that a shark ray has become pregnant while in captivity.
Oh, really?
So that's pretty big news, and we'll await the arrivals.
To quote Johnny Carson, I did not know that.
Now, the bad news from Anton, Kentucky.
Oh.
A huge reward is being offered for the information involving the unlawful shooting of 2 whooping cranes.
Son of the guns.
Statement from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said that the shootings took place near the Pond River. Now, at the same time in Boise, Idaho, the Idaho Department of Fish and Game wants to give kids as young as 10 years old a shot at bringing down big game. 10 years old, Melissa?
Well.
Now, saying it would be up to their parents if the youngsters were allowed to hunt. Now, that's a 2-year age decrease from the current minimum of 12 years old.
Well.
Mrs. Swihart, should 10-year-old kids be allowed to bring down large game?
It depends on the kid.
Where did you find that story, Dr. Day?
It's just a little disturbing to me.
Yeah. They're
all
obviously
right.
Young, but they shouldn't do it alone, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know. Well, we'll talk a little more about this later. All right, here's a follow-up from Salt Lake City, Utah. Testing has confirmed that more than 50 bald eagles died in Utah after scavenging on dead grebes that had the West Nile virus.
Oh, them darn grebes.
Yeah, now for our listeners who don't know, grebes are like shorebirds.
Yes, they are.
Now, officials plan to mark Utah's Bald Eagle Day on February the 8th.
Well, we'll celebrate with them. Let's,
yes,
well, maybe we just go to Utah.
That's 50 deaths, man.
That's a lot.
That's a national symbol, too.
Absolutely.
All right, well, he slithered out of his neighborhood, Cottonwood Heights, Utah. A snake collector has moved out of a suburb of Salt Lake City with more than 25 bull constrictors. Yeah, citing harassment from his neighbors. Now, we're not going to mention his name, but Thomas Cobb and his wife had a lot less stress since him and the family moved the snakes out of the Cottonwood Heights area. Now, Thomas has declined to say where he lives now.
I have to say, I have to interject this. When I first met Bill Shirk, world's greatest escape artist, he needed a variety of snakes for a stunt. And I lived in an apartment. I shouldn't say this. Well, it's past 7 years, so it doesn't matter. And I had close to 50 venomous snakes in one of my bedrooms.
Oh, I remember that apartment.
So, you know,
oh,
25 boa
really
constrictors. Really.
Yeah, that would, you could, yeah. That's a nice pickup line in a bar right there. Hey, baby.
There was a girl sitting on a chair screaming.
That's the voice of Bill Shirk. Why was he screaming, Mr. Shirk?
Because there were baby snakes all over, baby rattlers all over the floor, and she was yelling and screaming. And I said, this is the guy I need to meet because I need a rattlesnake.
That's the way it was in those days.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. On with the news.
Sorry.
Hey, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be extinct. Lake George, New York, an environmentalist group called Protect the Adirondacks, has started a database of public sightings of cougars. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said cougars are extinct in the eastern USA.
Somebody told me I was a cougar once.
But here lately, yeah, there's been numerous sightings of you and the cougars.
Trying to distract Dr. Day. I'm not doing a very good job.
Okay, keep trying. Now, rescuers tried to save several pilot whales that beached themselves south of Lover's Key in Lee County in Florida on Monday. Now, 4 dozen of the pilot whales swam into the shallow waters off of the southwest Florida coast. And as of Tuesday, 8 of the pilot whales have passed away.
Oh.
Boy, you're just depressing tonight, Doug.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just delivering the news.
So many good things to talk about tonight.
All right. Now you're going to say, ooh, after you hear this story.
Okay, I'm getting ready.
San Antonio, Texas. More than 200 Air Force trainees at Joint Base in San Antonio, Lackland, will be given rabies shots as a precaution after bats were discovered in a basic training dormitory.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I went through basing, I thought bats were just part of the training.
Hey, don't they give you so many shots anyway? Couldn't one of them just be the rabies shot? I mean, I heard that when you go through basic training, you get a lot of that anyway. So just, you know, what's one more?
You know what I was thinking? I wonder what Dave Davies of the Kinks would say about that.
Oh, geez.
You have to ask Ozzy Osbourne about that. He's the one that had to take the shots.
Oh, God.
All right, now here's some more disturbing news out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Traps are being set to catch snowy owls alive at the Gerald R. Ford International Airport after staff members shot 9 in the past 2 months to ensure aircraft safety.
Oh.
They shot 9 snowy owls. Now, they say the owls fly low and could collide with the aircraft. So let's just shoot them.
Yeah.
Well, I bet if you were on the plane, you would think, but yeah, that's.
But you know what?
There's
creatures that do worse things in our world, and we don't shoot them.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, if the rule applies to one, the rule applies to and needs to apply to all.
That's true. So well put.
All right, we got a strange story out of Kenai, Alaska. Yeah, a man made an unusual discovery in his backyard. It was a garter snake. Why is that strange? Well, the garter snake was frozen. It was about 1.5 feet long, and he found the reptile while he was feeding his dogs.
Yeah.
Now, during the winter, if you see animals acting strangely, you should be alarmed. So if there's a frozen garter snake in your backyard, then be prepared for an earthquake, a tidal wave, possibly anything.
Well, that does make sense.
All right.
They say when the tsunami hit Thailand that the wild animals all moved inland before?
That's right.
Elephants and whatnot?
Everything new before the public?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, well, our next story is about the Beatles.
Oh, cool.
Custer, South Dakota. Black Hills National Forest crews will use, yes, listen, $1.5 million and federal funding to try to get ahead, to try to get rid of the mountain pine beetle.
They do a lot of damage. They kill a lot of pine trees.
Yes, they do.
And it's not pretty.
And let's hope that $1.5 million is enough.
God, let's hope.
It won't be.
No.
Never is.
All right, Jacksonville, Florida. By the end of the month, the University of North Florida's Shark Research Program expects to place as many as 10 sensors in the Atlantic Ocean near the beach. They're putting out 10 sensors in the giant Atlantic Ocean. Why? Well, if a great white shark that's been tagged by a tracking device swims within a few hundred yards of the sensor, the scientists will know.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
They'd be warned about.
Yeah, what are we, oh, there goes one. What are we going to do now for the next 8-10 hours?
Yeah. There's, you know, that on the West Coast, the Great White, in fact, we've talked about this in the past, they're getting scarce. They're thinking about making them an endangered species.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because of their nesting grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting that you should bring this up tonight, because I actually spoke with Mr. Covell today.
You did.
I did.
From the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Yes, and he was telling me that they are doing, that there's still quite a bit of work going on trying to get the great white listed as an endangered species. It's protected, but protected and endangered is not the same thing.
Right.
But Australia, I believe it's Australia, they actually have a system set up right now where they have some tagged great whites. And if these great whites swim near the sensors of a specific type, it'll actually send out a tweet to the cell phones of people who have signed up to this app and let people know that this shark is in the area.
Well,
that's pretty,
pretty cool.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
And for our listeners who don't know, Melissa Hovey loves sharks.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
More than one. In a different way than she does, but we love sharks.
Did somebody say more than Wayne?
Yeah.
I hear that.
I want to apologize for all comments I make tonight. Now. Yeah.
All right, let's get on with this so we can get Mr. Shirk on tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do the local news. A northeastern Indiana man is crediting his pet bird with waking him up in time to escape from his burning mobile home. Andy Hardick, 36, said he was sleeping Monday afternoon when his cockatiel, Dylan, started squawking. Now, he told the Kendallville News Sun paper that he tried to put out the fire with a fire extinguisher before fleeing the house with Dylan and his cage.
Well, pets have saved a lot of lives when we're talking about fires. You know, people's dogs. And for it to squawk a cockatiel, that's what woke him up. They're whistlers.
Yeah, exactly.
People would get them and say, I'm going to teach it how to talk. Well, they're not great talkers, but they're amazing whistlers. They pick up melodies really quick.
And that's where we are. We love those cute little guys.
Or if it knew light my fire.
Huh.
I don't know.
We'll have to ask Andy.
I apologize
baby,
for that.
Light my fire.
All right, let's get on with the Wild World Facts of the Day. All right. Which animal has the most taste buds?
Huh. Well, I know it wouldn't be me because I burnt half mine off on my hot chocolate today.
With marshmallows?
No, with cream. But you know what? I have zero patience. And they give it to me, and it's so hot, I can't even hardly hold it in my hand. I know it's going to be hot. And what do? Take a big old drink because I think to myself, I can handle this. And then there goes all my taste buds. So it doesn't matter what I eat or drink the rest of the day.
No.
There.
Would that be a snake doctor day?
No. Any other guesses?
Moose?
No. That would be a catfish.
Oh. That makes
sense. What do they need taste buds for?
Yes, the catfish has over 27,000 taste buds.
Really?
Yes. That's why, they used to make a Limburger cheese dough bait. Well, I guess they really enjoyed it.
Wow. Okay, and who counted these taste buds?
Somebody with a lot of time.
I bet that was $1 million grant.
That was a grant, yes, $1 million grant for counting catfish taste buds.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. Bats make up a quarter of all mammals.
Mm.
And as of the last couple of years with the white nose syndrome, we hope that's still true.
Yes.
Now, let's finish this up with, as you're about to drift off to sleep tonight, remember, if they were laid end-to-end, the blood vessels in your body would wrap around the equator 2.5 times.
Really?
Wow.
Now, that's the Wild World News for January the 23rd.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters. We always appreciate the efforts that they put in to present the Wild World News each week here at 10 p.m. on Larry Batson's Wild World. want to tell everyone that, remind you to check out our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, our wildlife education programs and so forth. Also, the availability of our children's book, a brand new one, Alphabet Swamp, which is only $10, autographed and postage included. We send it to that youngster that enjoys reading, and especially about swamps. Written by my wife, Cheryl Batson, and illustrated by yours truly. It's a children's wonderland, that book is. And, of course, they make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. And I think it's that time for our first grade teacher, Mrs. Swihart. Remember, class, raise your hand.
Yeah.
I assume you were dancing.
You're crazy. What?
You know, you
I'm
said
fantasizing.
That you're
a, I'm fantasizing. Paul Stanley. Paul
no,
Stanley.
I know. You were talking about a spelling test that you were going to give tomorrow, and that,
yes.
That myself and Dr. Day and our guest tonight, Bill Shirk, has he drifted off to sleep yet? Bill, are you there? He goes to bed about 8 o'clock. This is a little bit past.
Oh, a little bit of late-night fun for him.
Absolutely. But you might challenge us with some of these words.
Oh, you know what? These first-grade words are not challenging to you guys. These are the simplest words ever. I mean, they're challenging to first-graders, but we only have 6 a week. And, you know, they're the high-frequency words. They're really easy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, give
I mean,
us
like,
one.
Well, this week's words are, the 6 words for this week are eat, good, jump, help, down, and can't.
What was that third word?
Jump.
Oh, jump. I thought you said dump.
Might as well jump. Yeah. Yeah. Something that Bill Shirk does all the time.
Yes, he
in
does.
Weird fashion.
Yes, we could talk about some of the weird stuff that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read about Mrs. Swihart about
did.
The time he was buried?
Yes.
With tarantulas and rattlesnakes and pythons.
79 hours.
79
exactly.
hours.
With the python, 2 tarantulas and rattlesnakes. I did read about it. And what I think is really amazing is that if that were to happen to me, I would just die from fright. My heart would just explode, and that would be the end for me. But you know what? He makes it. I mean, the least of my problems would be the creatures. It would just be my own fear. But I
yeah.
guess I'm wussy girl. You know, I'm wussy girl about that kind of stuff. But you know what? I did something that Bill Shirk couldn't do.
What's
Bill,
that?
Are you there? Hello,
I'm
Bill.
I'm here.
Your alarm clock is going off right now. Hey, I have done something that you have never done, I'm pretty sure of, Bill.
Have
you
a baby?
Know what it is? Yes, I've had 4
no.
of them, Bill. Bill, have you ever gotten 4 watermelons out of that tiny little hole before?
I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to
so,
think
hey,
about it.
You won up that one there, Mr. Shirk.
That's a good one.
And you know what, Mr. Shirk? I did it all with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And I would do it again and again. And again, but the old gray mare ain't what she used to be. So.
You're like a guinea pig. Or a hamster.
Hey, I just saw where a 58-year-old woman was she's a surrogate. She's carrying her grandchild. And you know what? I would do that for somebody. I mean, if the uterus still goes, why not use it? So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. But. No, that's just way off the subject. But, yeah,
Bill.
Back to the fact that, yes, Bill, I have done something that you will probably never do. So that's about all, though.
I'm very picky about what I do.
Well, me too, if that's what I chose.
Well, yeah.
They said, hey, woman, Would you want to be in a straitjacket hanging upside down from some helicopter over some body of water? And I said, you know, I think I want something a little more challenging. How about childbirth?
Hold on a second. You know, speaking of challenging, I have a very special surprise for Mr. Batson. This will only take a couple minutes. Mr. Batson,
yes.
I would like to introduce to you the great, the talented Mr. Bruce.
Hey, Larry.
You know, we don't take call-ins on this program.
Oh, you don't, do you? But you like to call into my show and torment me.
call-ins.
Yeah, they usually don't go well, and I have a feeling this one's not going to go well either.
I actually had a question for Amy.
Yes. Hey, you know what? Hold on a second. I'm sweating. I've got to take one of my shirts off.
I had a flashback. Yeah.
Sometime we'll have to share with you in private.
So, Amy, here's my question. What does Justin Bieber and Larry Batson have in common?
Do we have that mute a button available tonight?
No, I'm sorry, it broke. The Taliban stole it.
You know, I just don't know.
All right. Well, Justin Bieber participates in drag racing, and Larry Batson was a drag queen. So there you go.
I'm about as far away from a drag queen as.
And I wonder, I suppose that both of them may be interested in Miley Cyrus as well.
But
that might be
know.
Something
no.
else they have in common.
You know, and also, I was wondering, you know, those eagles who died from eating those painted greaves, do they file a grievance?
Oh!
He had to think about that one for a little bit.
Well, there goes our family friendly rating for this program. Thank you very much.
Well,
obviously you missed the watermelon bit, Melissa.
No, I was thinking about that one too. No, it was
blame it on me.
Effort.
Blame it on me. They blame everything on me.
We want to remind everyone that on Tuesday nights on Blog Talk Radio, Sasquatch Watch Radio with Bruce Arrington and Billy Willard, and occasionally I'll become a guest host on that program.
I'm a little upset that I'm not a guest.
Adding a little bit of.
Let me just say that Larry uses the term guest very loosely.
Well, Larry's pretty loose.
He's a heckler. He calls into the show and he heckles like me.
You know, when I hear that voice, Bruce, all I think about is I would sure like a big old bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken right now.
I know. So Larry always mentions this chicken, and that's because we were at the Chautauqua Bigfoot event, and there were a number of eyewitnesses who claim that that fried chicken actually brings in these creatures. So it's been an inside joke ever since.
Well, that's not the complete story. Your cabin, we were told, was a renovated chicken coop.
Yes, it was.
That you
and
say.
They charged a pretty good penny for it, too, Larry.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his cabin didn't smell like Kentucky Fried.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, Bruce, it's nice that you joined us this week. We really appreciate the contribution that you gave to Wild World, to our worldwide network here on Blog Talk Radio, and you can go away anytime now.
No, it's a real party now.
You know, Larry, I just thought I would call into your show and return the favor.
No, we really appreciate it. There was a limited amount of entertainment value to this, and it's always appreciated someone's strong contributions each week on this program.
Right in the middle of my time, do you know?
Oh, and it's almost time for a break when we come back with Mr. Shirk. I hate to say it.
I know.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be back in just a couple moments. Go grab a cold beverage, everybody. You're listening to Wild World without Bruce Arrington on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Babson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Babson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Babson.
We'll be joining Bill Shirk, the world's greatest escape artist, broadcasting legend here in Indiana and across the Midwest. I want to remind everyone that this half of Wild World is brought to you by McGregor's Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. You know, they had 22 inches of rainfall one night, and the area was pretty severely devastated, but they're building it back, and I want to tell you, if you've never had a chance to be out west and the foothills of the Rockies, you need to go at least once in your lifetime. It's an absolutely magnificent setting next to Rocky Mountain National Park. You might have bighorn, elk, deer right in your backyard, right by your cabin. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com, and check it out. Michael Hodges is the proprietor. What a great facility they have, all different sizes of cabins and lodges. And enjoy the mountains of Colorado. It's absolutely spectacular. I've known him forever. Gosh, it's hard to believe. I'm probably close to 36 or 7 years. World's greatest escape artist. He's also a broadcaster here in Indiana that's, well, he's just legendary. My good friend, and we've already harassed him quite a bit. Bill Shirk. Good evening.
So that means when you're legendary, it's over. It's over with.
Not necessarily.
That's thanks for the accolades, but the fact of the matter is I'm retired. That happened in my 30s, 40s, and actually 50s, so I've been retired now for about 8 years.
No more straitjacket.
Not from broadcasting, but from sticking my head in a bag with rattlesnakes that you give me.
Yeah.
Hey, you can always come out of retirement. People do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I just kind of feel, actually, with all the stuff that I've done, you said you like sharks. I was hung over about 30 of them from a burning rope in a straitjacket and fell down in with them, and done a lot of daredevil stuff along with the stunt stuff that's mainly called escapes that really I'm lucky to be here, and so I just kind of thank my lucky stars I am, and if you want to find out what I did, you can either buy my video or my movie or my book.
Yeah.
Which is that? BillShirk.com.
That's right.
I thought
that's right. Bill Shirk, S-H-I-R-K, just like yes. Jerk with an S and an I.
Yeah, that complicated it a little bit. Okay, so how many world records do you have?
Well, at one time, over the years of through 1979 through 1985, I held about 8 different world records, and some of them were the same world records. When I started out doing the world record of just getting out of a straitjacket, the world record was like 18 or 19 seconds. I bopped it down to about 14, then somebody did it in 12, and then I did it in 9, then somebody did it in 3.4, and then I did it in 1.68, and that was in, let's see, 1979, and nobody's broken it since.
Wow. Okay, so do you practice these things at home, like with your wife? Do you say, hey, baby, would you put me in this straight jacket and then tie me? I mean, what? How do you get good at this?
Well, I did do a movie once when I was upside down making love, but I wasn't in a straight jacket at the time. That'd be almost impossible. But the first time I ever got out of a straitjacket was kind of a thing where I showed up in Chicago because I was trying to find a jacket because somebody was doing a promotion where they wanted me to hang upside down but not really do it, chicken out, and I wanted to learn how to do it and make them really hang me upside down. So the first time I was put in a jacket after watching a guy practice at the Chicago Magic Center, he was getting out of it in about 30 seconds or so, and I said, geez, that's pretty fast. He said, yeah, man, the world record's 24, so he put me in it, and I was out of it in 15 seconds.
Oh, my Lord.
So I kind of had a knack for it for some reason. Then I developed the foot kit where I'd use my foot to pull the jacket up over your head and then take the sleeves and kick it with my foot off the top of my head. That's how I got it down to 1.68 seconds.
Wow.
It's quite impressive to see. I mean, we were always amazed. And then Bill, I first met Bill. You tell them the story. You tell it so well.
Well, I was going to do a burial. The first time I was just buried for 48 hours, and I always did this for charity for the Retarded Association here in Indianapolis. And so I was buried for 48 hours, and we raised $5,000, and I thought, geez, you can really raise a lot of money because it takes, you know, a period of time where people come to the grave, make donations, can make it over the radio. You talk to the people up on top of the ground. And next time I did it, I wanted to make it a little exciting. So I thought, wow, how about a 10-foot python, 2 tarantulas, and a rattlesnake? And I was a jock on the air at the time at my radio station that I owned. And so everybody goes, hey, what a great idea. And I was going to do it. And I go, you got to be kidding. So all of a sudden I was going to do it. So I bought a python because it was like the beginning of winter and it wasn't going to happen until summer. So I bought a python, and just about 3 weeks before the stunt, my python died of pneumonia, and so I went to my.
That was
it. It was because I was giving it shots, and it was supposed to be cured. I was actually going to the thing with this 10-foot python and giving it shots to try to, make it live with the pneumonia. I had to do it every day, give it shots in the morning and the evening. But he died, and so then I went to the guy that took care of the snakes and was a local doctor, a veterinary doctor, and I said, hey, I got to have a snake. I got this done. It's all lined up with national TV and all this stuff. And he said, well, the only guy I know would be crazy enough to let you be buried with a python is Larry Batson. And so that's when Larry alluded to the situation where I went to his house, knocked on the door, the door opened, the girl was screaming her head off, and there were a bunch of baby rattlesnakes where she was up on top of the chair, and they were in the bottom. And so then he got her quieted down. I think she might have even left. And then he took me into this room, and he had so many rattlesnakes in this bedroom in this apartment complex that the sound of the rattles when you walked into the room was deafening. It was like, and I also needed a rattlesnake. And he said, well, good news, I got a rattlesnake. It's pretty calm. But he says, I've got a python that is called, I think, what was he called?
Butkus.
What was the name of it, Larry?
I thought it was Butkus.
You there, Larry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Butkus, right.
Right.
And he said, he's not a squeezer, you know, which you can handle. You just don't want a biter, which means he's going to, anywhere you get near him, he's going to bite you.
Yeah.
So you got to really grab him behind the neck.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I figured out how to be buried with it.
Oh, sorry.
So I learned how to be buried with a 10-foot python, 2 tarantulas, a rattlesnake, and actually I was in the coffin. They opened a little lid, dropped in the tarantulas. I dropped them in my socks, tied the socks, got rid of them. They dropped in the python. I put them in my blue jeans and tied it with the belt and with the 2 legs. And then they dropped in the rattlesnake, and I got him behind the head, tied his mouth with my shoelaces, and then put him in my turtleneck and tied him up. And then they were all secured because we had a venom, an anti-venom there, at the time. In fact, we even offered a $10,000 reward, Larry, if anybody could prove that rattlesnake wasn't hot. And after the burial, you milked him.
Yes, I did. That was the same snake
and
I was bitten
time,
by.
That time, after 48 hours, we'd only raised about $1,000, and I'd raised $5,000 that time before, so I refused to be dug up until we raised $5,000 and until President Jimmy Carter recognized that I was buried and made a donation. And so it made the front of the Washington Post, and they made Walter Luca, the press secretary, made a dollar donation, and we raised $5,000, and they dug me up.
Do you suppose that Barack Obama would do that now? Do you think?
Not on your life, kid.
Do you think he would make a donation?
Pardon?
Do you think that he would make a donation?
Huh. Oh, would he? No, actually now, remember, this was back in the 19, what, that was in the 70s, 70,
yeah.
77.
Yeah.
Back in those days, they weren't worried about somebody holding somebody ransom for money.
Yeah.
So I don't think in any today's world, in a million years, that somebody would demand something to happen that the president would and it was his press secretary. It wasn't really him personally. It said, from the president, from the press secretary, which I have a copy of, and it was in my book. But I don't think you'd be able to do that today.
Well, do you realize how big that stunt would be now with social media, Facebook, and all that? And my God.
Well, I remember when I owned the TV station, and the last time I was buried was with that Venezuelan bird-eating spider, which is the largest spider in the world and absolutely the most vicious, and that 14-foot Burmese python, or was it a retic? It was the last burial where I was put down and dug up on Halloween, Houdini's death, and it was snowing outside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, what a way to spend a Halloween, too.
Well, it was very interesting because when you're buried alive, they say, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, they got people coming all day, and you're trying to talk them into dropping a dollar into the pot for, talking to you on the phone. But when I had the TV station, it was interesting because I could always look up and see the people, and the people had a camera and a viewing screen up television that could see me down there with the spider on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people say, that's not you, that's not you. And so I'd bring them over to the air pipe, and I'd have them drop down a bottle of water, and then I'd drink the water, and then I'd go to the bathroom in the water bottle, and then I'd have them bring them up, and then there was no doubt that I was down there.
That was on. I'd forgotten that was on the
Lovely.
Oh, yeah, the crowd would go nuts because everybody would go, what are you talking about? Go, oh, my God, the guy peed in it. Oh, excuse me, you can't use that word, can you?
Yes,
no,
you can.
This is the internet. You can't use that word.
First graders say pee.
Okay. Urinated.
Yeah. Well, you know, he always had a hotline whenever he had his burials, and I can still remember being over at a friend's house, and he was buried, and we were at a friend's house, and I said, hey, I have the hotline number for Bill. He's being buried right now. I think at that time we put yellow scorpions from Iran and several rat snakes. It was quite a combination of wildlife in with him.
Was that when I was entombed in a block of cement at the mall?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
What did you call
I was entombed in a block of cement. No food, no water, three rat snakes, and two tarantulas. Actually, I had the tarantulas kind of had them hypnotized. They could make them do all kinds of stuff because you could come in after you made a donation and look through a viewing area and see me in there with usually the snake over to the side, and or the three of them over to the side, but the other tarantulas, I could almost make them move around in certain areas. I actually became kind of loony in there.
Oh, in there? Well,
yeah.
Just that?
Yeah, but
the
you know, I think it's because I was sleep. I was deprived of sleep because during the, for some reason, Japan and Europe and South America just went nuts over this kind of a thing back then. And I'd be on the telephone start at about 9 o'clock at night all around the world until like 6 in the morning doing interviews.
Mm.
Like, who's this crazy guy in the ground with a 10-foot python, two tarantulas, a rattlesnake, or
Venezuelan birdieing spider or whatever you want to talk about. One time I was buried for 2 weeks trying to promote the movie that I was in with six rats. And Larry provided the rats. And then we had to, after about 3 days, they started to revert to type. In other words, they started to try to eat each other. So they got rather vicious. And so remember, we put little cradles down through the air pipe, and I'd put them in this little kind of like parachute thing, and you took them all up to the top. But the only thing I can remember is there was about, I don't know, maybe 25 TV and everybody photographers, and just as I was in the coffin in a pure white tux suit, and they dropped the six rats on me, and the first thing they did was number two all over me.
Oh,
yuck. That's why children shouldn't do this.
Man, I can laugh now, but I'm telling you, that odor can get to you after you're down there 2 weeks.
Well, what we did is I put a friend up to calling the hotline number into the concrete crypt filled with snakes and scorpions.
Right.
And my friend tried to sell him the wonders of aluminum siding. And Bill's response Bill's response was, do you realize all the tubes
and
concrete with
snakes? Where'd you get this number?
Huh? I always had those hotline numbers. But,
well, I had an emergency line.
Yeah.
Always had an emergency line.
Yeah. Well, when you told my friend that, do you realize who you're talking to? I'm buried with snakes and scorpions and blah-de-da-de-da. And then he, before he hangs up, well, if you don't want to buy it, just say so. It was a humorous moment.
Yeah, and somehow I knew that was you behind it. Because, you know, not only does he play gags on other people on the Internet, he's on our radio station that we have here in Lebanon, and he's always pulling pranks on it. And also you're on the morning show doing some talk segment on Thursdays or something. RadioMom.fm.
RadioMom.fm. It's... Sunday's the 80s on Sunday with yours truly.
80s on Sunday, man.
Yep, 12 to 7.
From 12 till 7 o'clock. I'm on every day from 12 to 7, Monday through Friday. RadioMom.fm. I've been a steady jock on the air almost daily now for, close to 48 years.
I would like to be a steady jock.
Then you seem possible.
Tell her
what kind of a future in radio, Amy Swihart. She wants to be a disc jockey.
Well, let me tell you, hon. I used to go around 30 years ago to high schools and stuff and talk, and I'd say, how many people in here are interested in radio? About half the class. How many people are in TV? About all the class. Now you go in and say, how many people are interested in radio? And you will be lucky to get one or two out of 30, and how many people are in TV? Maybe five, and then everything's Internet.
Yeah.
Just like this show.
Yeah.
It's what we're doing right now is a future of broadcasting.
Well, I've said that before, which is
kind of sad.
No, there's nothing sad about this show. It's just that Dr. Dave is news sometimes.
It's just sad.
Well, the beauty of it is it gives everybody an opportunity, a legal playing field to be able to show what they can do and what kind of a thing they can put together and what kind of a show. And so far, and listen to you guys, sound like you got your stuff together. Real proud of you, Larry.
Well, that's a compliment from Mr. Shirk, because I want to tell you, he is he ran a broadcasting school, and one of his students that now, of course, is quite well known and gave him his start in radio was David Letterman.
Right.
Yeah. What do you remember about Dave, Bill?
He sure looks old on TV. What do I remember?
Had more hair back then.
What I remember is that he was really kind of aloof.
Yeah. I think he still is.
I really never got to know him very well. He only worked for me for about 8 months. And then he got the gig on the TV station. Or actually, I guess it was WNAP. Somebody mentioned about that Radio Wars you've just seen on PBS.
Yeah.
Some of the people have seen it in Naptown Radio Wars. That received an Emmy.
Oh, it did.
That's a great show.
It did. It received an Emmy.
Wow.
They had a big party 2-3 months ago, but received an Emmy for it, and it's just really incredible.
It's quite
that show.
Good.
It
brought back so many memories.
Yeah.
So many memories.
And radio was a different kind of an animal then. I can remember when I came to Indianapolis, there were three full-time and no three AM daytimers and three full-time stations, and FM wasn't even heard of. There was no such thing as FM radios.
Yeah.
And they said, FM will never make a difference. Now, FM right now is responsible 85% of all listening to radios to FM, 15% AM.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, FM at that time was kind of like internet radio is now.
It's
getting discovered. And of course, there's no restrictions with internet radio, which is a good thing or a bad thing, especially when we're talking watermelons.
That is not the worst thing you would hear on radio. I'm pretty
sure. No, you get away with watermelons. You ever listen to Bob and Tom? Man, they say 10 times worse than that. There's only seven words, and if you listen to rap radio these days, those words are used all the time in the lyrics. So you just wonder what's going on. I mean, back in the day, FCC would come in on you and just, that'd be the end of you, and today it just... I remember I had to jerk a song off when I was in my 20s because it was too radical. It was called Let It All Hang Out. They thought that was too radical.
Yeah.
And so I had to take it off.
Well,
and I put it on.
Yeah.
Whether they liked it or not, and then I got fired. Let It All Hang Out. Yeah.
Well, do you remember of course, this is way before Mrs. Swihart's time, but the controversy over Louie by the Kingsmen.
Oh, yeah. I was in Muncie, Indiana with ERK, the station my family owned, and myself, and the name of the group was the Kingsmen.
Yeah.
And there was a group that was local that was in Ohio called the Kingsmen. Anyway, they could do the Louie Louie song pretty good. So on my radio station, I played their song. Louie Louie are going to be at this theater, and I sold it out three times over with this group from Ohio. That song was banned in the state of Indiana, banned, because the word that was so disgusting to him was the word, or whoever it was the word way down low.
Yeah, ooh.
That was it. That's all it was.
Really?
I mean, any type of phrase is subject to interpretation, but at that time it was unbelievable. Of course, that was the time when you're still playing 45s, and they were all on a record player, and you...
Yeah.
The jocks would burn up the needles, and
that
was way back in the day.
Well, you know, coming up, and this will really age us, do you know, Bill, that this February will be 50 years since the Beatles came to America?
Wow.
50 years.
I remember we played their songs right away.
Oh,
they were a hit.
My wife is
a huge Beatle fan.
Yeah, well, you even said the first time you played... Now, it's no big deal. I Want to Hold Your Hand over the radio. It was one of those infectious songs that just, there was no sound
like
it.
The repetition, the beat.
Yep.
And it had that soul to it.
You have a favorite
an incredible
moment.
Time. Presley really busted the field open but top 40 radio in the 60s, you know, it was pretty much everything that was popular. Now you take everything that's popular, it's divided between AM, I mean, not AM, it's divided between top 40, America's AC, adult contemporary, hot adult contemporary, you know, urban adult. I mean, there's so many different categories, alternative. So there's so many different choices now, where back then you didn't have many choices. Just like Indianapolis. I came to Indianapolis, there was really 6 a.m. is competing. There was no FMs. Now there's 36 signals that come into the market with FM and AM.
Well, I can remember on WIFE, their format, they'd play a country song, they'd play rock music. They were just soul.
Yep. Whatever was ever selling, whatever was the top 40. In other words, whatever you took the top 40 songs, whichever was selling the most, you did it. You took the first seven that were in the most, you put in the most rotation, get repeated the most because you wanted to give them the most. And when wife first came to Indianapolis, I mean, they had almost a 70% of the audience. Right now, if you have a 7 or 8%, you're considered successful.
Wow. Well, they were it. And like the radio station wouldn't even consider that type of format now, would they, Bill?
No, I mean, I used to mix country, have a country show on my station in Muncie along with the top 40, and they, you know, you get away with it. You could never get away with that now. You've got to be very, very vocal, about what you do. You've got to be very precise in what you do. There's certain playlists now. There's, I think there's, 21 different kinds of musical formats that you can have on radio. AM strictly gone to talk. You never hear music on it at all. Just a lot of time changes. In fact, television has always been the big biller. TV was always the number one biller. TV has pretty much held its own. Newspapers have actually lost 50% of their income. Internet has now surpassed radio as the number three producer of money. It's a whole different world.
Yeah. I'm not sure I like it.
Well, the one thing it gives is diversity. It gives everybody a chance to be heard if you want to. I mean, one of the things the FCC is doing right now is low-power FMs, where you can really have a radio station out of your own house and do your own thing on whatever you want. There's thousands of low-power licenses all across America where people do that.
Yeah.
So, like I say, when you used to have just four or five split in the pie, it was pretty nice, and then all of a sudden you got 36 or 37 split in the pie, and then radio has declined. It has about a 1% increase in business over the last 3 years, radio in general. I mean, it hasn't declined like newspapers, and magazines have really taken it on the chin. But the Internet is the explosive, and cable's done real well. Regular TV not just kind of held its own. Cable TV's had some increases, but the Internet, all the explosion of all the increases all on the Internet.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a frontier that's I think in the years to come it's going to be a lot of fun. I know we have a blast here every Thursday night from 10 to 11 on Wild World.
And that's what's missing from radio. Unless you're on talk radio, there's no personality. AM radio is just kind of you just talk and play the music. Not that you want to do it different the way things are done, but everything has really changed. And on your show like this one here, you really can show some personality. Each individual can really express themselves. And on radio, FM radio, it's unheard of.
Well, I can still remember when I went to the Bill Shirk School of Broadcasting, the talk bit should be 15 seconds. That's all.
I was in the repeat radio. That's where it was at. You just shut your mouth and play the music, and they loved it. But now, unfortunately, there's so many different people playing the music, it's really hard to distinguish yourself that way. But I had this school of broadcasting through the proprietary educational system through Indianapolis for about 6 or 7 years, and I was real proud of the school. I had about 90% of my students were placed, and the other average on the other schools was they were lucky to place 40. But I always taught my kids that, start at the bottom, start wherever you can, be a board operator. I started out as a janitor in radio, just start at the bottom and work your way up. And if you got the tools, you'll always make it.
Yeah.
Well, give us a little drag racing jabber for us, Bill.
Okay. Well, the NHRA, which was the southern part of drag racing, it was the big thing. NHRA was down in all the places in Louisville and North Carolina, South Carolina, those areas, and I used to do spots for them for about 15 years where you yell out, Sunday, and, and all that stuff about the big drag sound behind, but I was their national voice for about 15 years.
Give us a sample.
I went to a few drag races. I never really cared much for it. I used a big compressor mic to make me sound like I was God coming from heaven going, Sunday, with a compressor mic. It was wild back in those times.
That was a lot of fun. You've had a fun career.
Yeah, and they paid well, too, and they paid on time. I loved them.
You know what, though?
Because drag racing, I got involved with one early in my career in Muncie Dragway, and, gosh, you have two rainouts in a week. I mean, you're down to tubes.
Yeah.
It's a very specialized business to succeed in drag racing.
But, before we run out of time, I do want to mention, you have given a lot of money to various causes, one being special needs, and that's something that you mentioned just a little bit of. But, really, that's a huge thing, and that's really, really awesome that you do that. So I want to say
I appreciate that. It makes you feel real good. I know one of the reasons I wouldn't be dug up ever, I thought it was my ego. I just wanted that extra five because I promised them that I could put this wheelchair on one of their buses and so have access, and they couldn't do it for less than five. So I that's one of the main reasons I stayed underground, just to make that extra five. So, there's a certain thing about, giving to people that
You just got to realize that you just got to let go of it. You know, you don't want to expect anything in return. You're just doing it because you're doing it.
That's right.
Well, he's been a great supporter of our work, and God bless Frank Powell, the Variety Club, because I know he was the guy that was a lot of those stunts. It was for his organization.
Yeah, it was for the Marion County Association for Retarded Citizens through the Variety Club, but he got things through. I mean, I did a helicopter escape on the grounds of the, you know, Soldiers Monument there in downtown Indianapolis in the movie, and they blocked off six streets and everything. I tried to do a helicopter escape, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Of course, this was back 1970 or 1983 when I did it, got all the permission. I tried to do it about 10 years later. You couldn't get a permit to put a helicopter and do a stunt like that in Indianapolis in a million years now.
No.
I wonder why.
Well, they say it was the soldiers, and believe it or not, the soldiers in St. Armand said to me that it was kind of disrespectful. I said, well, how is it disrespectful when I fly up there and put an American flag up in the air? How is that disrespectful? And besides that, I've already done it.
Yeah.
Same place, you know, and was praised for doing it. Front page of the paper. What are you talking about? Oh, you can't do it now. No, no. So whatever. I jumped off bridges in this city, and I mean, you couldn't get permission to jump off a bridge in this city now in a million years.
No, you just got
to
do it.
Most of the time, I had trouble getting permission to be able to do what I wanted to do. That was the biggest obstacle, sometimes more of an obstacle than the stunt, being able to do it without being thrown in jail. And, of course, I do have the world record jailbreak still, and I can do that, but
hey,
that was all organized.
Haven't you ever heard of do it and then ask for forgiveness later?
Oh, he does that every day.
Just don't ask. Go ahead and do it.
You mean with the main man upstairs? But on an hourly basis.
No, I'm talking about, like, if you want to jump off of a bridge, you just think and jump off the bridge. And if they want to scold you for it, say, hey, I mean, I'm really sorry. I didn't know I needed to have special.
Well, I had an FCC license. I was a man in the community that, you know, owned a radio station. I was only like 20, you know, like 31 years old. I'd done a lot of things in it. I just didn't want the image of being arrested or anything. That's just something I didn't want.
Yeah, I know.
So he didn't mind being chased
you
by
have,
the Secret Service that time, though.
You have that in common with Bieber.
You know, he looks a lot like Miley Cyrus. Have you ever noticed how they look alike?
Oh,
yes,
it's
sickening.
They look like twins.
But I'm
they
not
like
a Miley Cyrus either. Yeah.
They have the same haircut.
They both came in like a wrecking ball together.
They did.
There you go.
Oh, by the way, we play that on Radio Mom, so.
And they need to go out on the wrecking ball.
That's right. Well,
yeah.
William, it's so great to have you on the program. I know it's way past your bedtime.
Yeah, my plan. I don't know what I'm going to do with those three cups of coffee I had.
Pee in a bottle?
Yeah, pee in a bottle.
No, I had just three cups of coffee right next to my chair here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be up watching The Late Show tonight.
You didn't drink them.
Henry, a great show, huh?
Well, there's only one Bill Shirk.
Yes.
And we're glad to have him as a friend.
Yes.
Now, for
are.
Our listeners
Appreciate
who
it.
Haven't seen Bill's movie or read his book, it's a must. You'll learn so much more about him, and you'll appreciate him that much more.
Yes, BillShirk.com. Video, the book. The book is wonderful. So,
yes, and if you want to see Mr. Batson, he's in both.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, they had to fill up a lot of space and time, so that's the way they talk. That's the way that goes. Thanks once again, Mrs. Swihart.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly appreciate all you people. Thanks a whole lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate
Thanks,
you. Have a great week, everybody. You've been listening
yes.
to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.